Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 37. After this chapter, we have three more chapters in the book of Exodus, and then we go into Leviticus. Right now, let's ask the Lord to bless the law into our spirits. We know that we have the Spirit of the Lord to be able to keep the law, to perfectly keep it, because the Spirit of God makes us more than able to do all things in Christ Jesus. The law is a very hard thing to keep if we don't have the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord means that the Lord has such a spirit that he just did everything that pleased the Father. And so we have to have the same spirit. You know, you see a spirited horse that's just ready to romp and to run and to run a race. You can tell it from a nag. Now, there's a lot of people in the ministry that you can tell that they're like nags. There's no zeal in them. The spirit of wanting to run the race and press onto the mark is not with them. And these scriptures are meant to give us the Spirit of the Lord, which gives us a strong spiritual desire to do everything that the Lord commands us to do. And on top of it, strengthens our spirit and makes us able to do not just the law, but over and above the law. In other words, the New Testament is even makes it easy for us because the Spirit of God dwells in us. And the commandments are even more rigid, but he's so easy to keep that you just have to have the Spirit of the Lord in you to make you to know it. It's hard to believe, but once the Spirit of the Lord is in you, once you've received the born-again experience, you'll see that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And if God is with you, what obstacle could be against you? Or who could be against you? The problem is a lot of people don't want the Spirit of the Lord. They're nags. They're lost. They drag around. They mourn. They're not obedient. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that these people in the Word of God will be examples unto us, as you stated in the New Testament through the Apostle Paul, that these people are examples unto us, that you're very pleased with those that have been given the Spirit to do things, and they did them. And then some people that knew the things to do and didn't do them at all, and we see in their word that they were destroyed. And you were so angry with some of them that you even opened the earth up and swallowed them into hell. Lord God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, always the same. So we just need, Lord, to quicken these examples into our spirits so that we do as the ones that got into that went to heaven, and that we don't do the things that we're not disobedient, that we do exactly what Moses told the people to do and what you're telling me to tell the people to do and what your word tells people to do. Lord God, we ask that you give us this power to stand another day, to keep thinking about you every day. Keeps us pumped up in the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask, Lord. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go.
Exodus chapter 37, King James Version, verse 1. And Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood.
Just like Moses told him to do. Amen? He didn't dilly or dally around. He just went right to it. Amen? All these people that the Lord gave the spirit of zeal to do what the Lord had commanded them to do through Moses, they did it. There wasn't any problem with it, because they had the spirit to do it. Then what?
2 cubits and a half was the length of it.
That isn't hard. You know what the measurements of a cubit is, and you just measure that and swat and hammer it together or whatever they did. I don't have that spirit of craftsmanship in me, and so therefore, but I know they did, and they did it just like they were told. because they had the ability given to them by God to do it. Then what?
And a cubit and a half the breadth of it, and a cubit and a half the height of it. And he overlaid it with pure gold, within and without, and made a crown of gold to it
round
about.
All this is symbolic. This is wood, just plain wood. But the symbolism is that that's human, pure human. But then the spirit, which is the gold symbolizes, is lined within us and outward. The works that we do is outward of us. We're like gold inside because of the spirit in us, and the works that we do are like gold. Amen? So the Lord, this is like what we have to be. All right, then what?
And he cast for it four rings of gold to be set by the four corners of it.
Were carried by the Spirit. The staves and the rings. Everything is gold. Everything is by the Spirit. Not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Everything, his Spirit. Symbolically, Jews think that gold is the epitome of everything. But the Bible teaches us that it's the Spirit that gives us life, not gold. We can't buy salvation with silver or gold or diamonds or rubies or emeralds or anything like that. It's the Holy Spirit. Then what? Belief in the Word of God. Then what?
Even two rings upon the one side of it and two rings upon the other side of it. And he made staves of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold.
We're carried by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it means to be born about of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. Airborne means you're born in the air by the Spirit. The Lord is the air. He's the wind. He's the breath. Amen? Okay, then what?
And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark.
And then that's to bear our spirit-filled spirit, our heart. Because everything that was in the ark has to be in us, and more, because the ark had some of the word of the Lord, but we're saved by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof.
And mercy is very important. Our mercy has to be pure. We can't be merciful to some people and unmerciful to other people. Now, I can take just one scripture alone and preach on it for like 10 hours, all right? But we're just skimming through the Bible right now to tell you symbolically what some of these things mean, so that and you should be seeking the Lord more deeply than what I'm saying here, because I'm telling you what that means. And God makes a big thing out of the mercy seat. Without the mercy of the Lord, it's very important that we have the mercy of the Lord, because without mercy, we're all on our way to hell. And so, that's why the Lord tells us, if we sow mercy, we're going to reap mercy. And why love or charity is the most important thing, because if you don't have any love, you're not going to sow mercy. And we're supposed to be exactly like the Lord. And it says that his love is beyond understanding, okay? It's so vast and so deep. And that our love has to be like that. We have to take a back seat to every person on earth, because we're to show, or to let the Lord show himself, radiate to the world through us. And so that love, if the love isn't there, then maturity isn't there, or salvation isn't there. Because that's the main thing that the Lord wants to do, is show the love of God that passes understanding to the world. And if we won't let him do that, then we indeed are great sinners. And we indeed are going to pay for it in this life, and even more so at the judgment bar. He that soweth abundantly shall reap abundantly, And he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. You can't fool God. All the things that we've done in our bodies are registered, logged in heaven. If you think that human beings can come up with computers to know all things that are programmed into it, don't you think that the Lord has already put a computer in us and is able to, just within the flash of a second, read it back to us so that you can see what we did? And he'll parallel it with the Word of God to show you that you were not at all mercy, that you didn't have any love in you at all, because there's still fightings and anger at nothings. Now, we're to be angry, but we're not to sin. We're to be angry at satanic things, but not at godly things. Some people just stomp off at things that make so much sense and that are godly when they're being told certain things, that you know that the love of the Lord needs desperately to be increased in their souls, in their spirits. The love that passes knowledge. And some people are so shallow that they don't think that that's important, and that's the main thing. You read the book of Philippians, and you all throughout the New Testament, and you can see how God is merciful. And this mercy seat is a very important item in the most holy place, because this is the place where the high priest goes in and asks forgiveness for the sins of all the people of Israel. And then if the Shekinah glory comes down, the people could see it. It was a blessing to them, because they knew that if God was angry, if he wouldn't forgive sins, that he's going to kill them and send their souls to hell. But people just don't study these scriptures deep enough. Or they say, this is the mercy seat, and now this is that, and this is that, and just go on to one verse to another without really letting the verse sink into their spirits. But we have to be humble and have love in us that passes knowledge. Otherwise, the Lord is not, you're not allowing the Lord in your body to represent himself to the world. And there's no representation if you're just angry in fightings, because a person that is full of anger and fightings is full of lust, according to James. Amen?
Amen.
From whence cometh fighting and war, wars and fightings, all these different things? He says, from the lusts that are in you, because you're part of the world. You're not mature enough. You haven't gotten enough of the world out of you yet. There's still things in this world that you desire that you don't have. And so I'm just taking this one verse here, and I could talk on this all night long. Amen?
Amen.
And if you think about it, I mean, that's a good thing to do, is to think all night long and all day long about mercy and what it's all about, because without the mercy of the Lord, well, he had mercy that passes understanding. How can God come down here in a human body and suffer such pain and torture and die for a bunch of people that love to just stomp around when they're told the right thing to do? Who would die for something like that? Passes knowledge. Amen?
Amen?
That's beyond the human mind, the understanding. Or that people are just deliberately disobedient, and God still gives them a little rope here to repent. And by God, you better repent. Amen? Because even though the Lord is merciful and is long-suffering, he doesn't swat you down instantly. And even though a pastor doesn't, immediately put a person out of the church, or just say, look, it's obvious that you're not interested in eternal life, so just you have to leave because you're too bad of a testimony in this church. But I want the same kind of mercy, so I endure until I hear from the Lord that tells me you have to teach them a lesson. Slam the door in their face so that they're going to know what it's like in the kingdom of heaven when I slam the door in their face. And if that doesn't cause them to repent, And this is the merciful thing to do. If that doesn't cause them to repent, well then, they will have the door of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, slammed in their faces when they get there. And give them a little taste of it here. Give them a little taste of it here. They need to have the love that passes knowledge in them. They need to know the love of Christ. This is the creme de la creme of Christianity, is to show love. Not love is not condoning sin. Love is to tell people what they're doing wrong. Even though you might get into some kind of a war with them, they may turn out to hate you, they may tell lies about you to different people and so on. But the true love, a person that has a love that passes knowledge, is not going to be concerned about that. They're going to do what the Lord says, so that at least these people have been told, and you're doing it because you don't have the don't care attitude. Like if somebody was a drunk before I was saved, or somebody that was a homosexual, or a lesbian, I could live and let live, let them live, because I had no love for them whatsoever. I didn't have any love for them. But now I tell them, I warn them, and God is merciful because he warns people before he lets them go to hell. Over and over again, he sends his prophets, his preachers, his teachers, ministers, evangelists, and those that are filled with the love that passes understanding, and they tell people, and the people will throw them in prison, and they will beat them, or they'll take their properties away from them, or they'll even kill them, because they have to show mercy on people. You can't clam up. You can't be quiet about these things, otherwise these people will never know the actual truth of the gospel, of how it is that they have to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They won't know what sin is. And so if you're endued with the love of God, the love of Christ that passes knowledge, then you really don't have to worry too much about anything else, because you're going to keep all the commandments. You're going to have so much love in you that you're going to love the commandments of the Lord, and you're going to keep them because you know that you've been called to let God be represented in your mortal body in Christ Jesus. And you're just going to... So the main thing, if you know, it's not just the fear of the Lord. That's plenty. Fear of the Lord is that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and show that love, or let God show that love to the rest of the world. And if you're angry at them and bring false accusations, or just let your mouth run wild, and your actions run wild, then the mercy seat needs to be built in you. And the angels, the covering angels of the Lord have to be, the cherubs have to be over it, watching it all the time. And you have to guard this Spirit of God in you, because, and your own spirit mingled with his, because you are a mini Garden of Eden. Now, Adam and Eve didn't guard their souls from the spirit of Satan. They didn't pay any attention to what the Lord said. The love of God wasn't in them. The love for all humanity wasn't in them, and therefore all humanity had to die, because they didn't let God represent himself in them. And Christ, God in Christ himself, had to come to this world to die. And before this happened, he had to show in this way, crude way, to begin with, all the things that would symbolize his coming into the world and symbolize the temple that he would be living in. It had to be pure and holy and clean, and it had to be a most holy place, and that this most holy place would be our spirits, and the Lord himself, the Trinity, would come, after Christ ascends into heaven, would then descend into us and live a perfect holy life in us. And if the love and the mercy of the Lord that passes knowledge is in us, then God is living in us. There's no other way to define it. You can talk all day and say you're a big-time Christian, that you're a wonderful person and all this sort of thing. But if the love of God, the love of Christ that passes knowledge, is not in you, you don't have to talk and tell what a great Christian you are. Just show, just do it. Amen? And then you've got it. Then this mercy seat that symbolizes this will mean something to you. And I could keep going on the mercy seat, because I've seen hundreds of examples of mercy that has won many souls. It takes the crucifixion, the carrying of a cross, the denial of oneself. Because I thought I was a pretty important person before I got saved. And Susie said that I have to go to the streets to win souls, and I have to win hippies, which I, you know, in the natural didn't like, because they had long hair and they were dirty and filthy. And then she said we were out of money, and so I had to go to the back of the supermarket, she said. With her, she went right with me and begged for food to feed them. And that's to show mercy. And that lowered me in the eyes of the supermarket managers, and maybe people that were around, they might have snickered and laughed at it. But in the eyes of the Lord, I was being broken. And I was showing mercy because my reputation and my ego and what I wanted to do and all these things were crucified enough for me to not care whether I went to the back of a supermarket, because I was witnessing, I would witness to the people, look, you know, I'm saved, I got born again, I was, you know, I did these different things in the industry, and this is my last pair of Verde boots. And we want a bunch of hippies to the Lord. They're not in your supermarket anymore stealing candy bars or stealing food or anything like that. And I think, you know, we don't have money to feed them, and we have a whole former dope den in there. These people are not going to rip you off or kill your wife or children anymore. And therefore, have you got any thing that you can food-wise donate, because they're hungry, they're out on the streets witnessing to people and telling them what happened to them and about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not into free sex anymore or to drugs. And do you have some loaves of bread or some bags of beans or something like that, some fresh vegetables and stuff that we can feed them? And they would be cut, and they'd say, yeah, there's a whole bread rack back here. This stuff is like day old. Of course, they're supposed to give the best to people that like that. But they're not saved, and so we didn't start harping on that to him. We were very thankful to get the day old bread. And then I remember it was like Valentine's Day or something. They had a whole bunch of extra Valentine cakes back there. And back then, you know, I thought we'd struck a gold mine, you know, to have a whole rack full of Valentine cakes. Amen? Because I was very much into sweets back then, especially. That really hasn't left me, but I have to crucify my flesh on that. But I knew everybody would be happy. And some would donate a whole turkey or something like that. And that's how we existed in those days. And so to these people, they thought that I was like, really? And I was on the streets praying people through, hippies, and whoever else would listen to the gospel. And that's how this big revival started worldwide. It wasn't, just talk. It was a crucified life. It wasn't splendor. We all slept on the floors. I mean, every single one of these people slept on the floors because there wasn't enough beds. We didn't have money to buy beds, let alone soft beds. We didn't have any money for clothes. They still had ripped jeans, and they stunk. But that's how this work started, was showing the mercy of the Lord. And people couldn't believe that a guy like me, who had, I was the one that founded the 20 original hits. You can't buy them in the store. You got to call on the phone. I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher. I did this promotion work for Elvis Presley. I was asked to do presidential campaigns. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones wanted me to do promotions for them. I owned a Beatles album. I did the promotion for Pete Best of the Beatles. And I still own the Beatles album, which is worth, I'm told, over $100 million. And I went on the streets. And I didn't care anything about beds, soft beds, or fine clothes anymore. I'd had all that. That didn't exist in me. I had fancy cars, every type of thing, but I was very thankful and praised the Lord that I had a guide of Susie that told me that this is the right way to go. Television programs, I thought, you know the gospel so much, Sue, let's put you on TV. Because there was this desire in my heart to win souls, which I don't see. There's not in much people today. The love that passes knowledge is not in people today. It's like, what can I get for myself? Instead of, what can I do to further the kingdom of God on earth in human beings? How can I make this happen? And the way that it happens is to get the truth of the love of God that passes knowledge, and to show it, not just talk about it, but to do it. And if you're at each other's throats, you're not showing any love. You're just like the people of the world that are cutthroat. And if you're disobedient to those that have the rule over you, you're a cutthroat. You're a phony. And there isn't any other way to explain it. And so pray that God will give you the love of God in your hearts that passes knowledge. Now, I just dwelt a little bit on this particular subject here, on just about the mercy seat. Amen?
Amen.
Because I want to go through a chapter a day. But I could literally, and I guarantee you, I could go through a verse a day. And it would probably take until the Lord comes back, or maybe even longer than that, to get the whole Bible said. So I'm really, and a lot of people think, boy, you're really deep. No, I'm skimming. I'm skimming. But people, this is the first run through. If time goes on longer, I'll get into deep. Yeah, I've, for years, got into the scriptures very deep. I've got messages on one verse, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times at a time. And now the Lord says, read the Bible to them. All right, so here we are. But now people have to practice what they preach, okay? And so if you're preaching this and you're not letting the Lord do it in you, well, then, you know, it's of no value to you. Actually, it's going to go against you to know the truth and to not do it. That makes you more guilty than the unsaved person out on the street. There's a hotter place in hell for you and in the lake of fire. All right, let's continue.
Verse 6, and he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half was the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And he made 2 cherubims of gold, beaten out of 1 piece, made he them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat.
Right, how else can God, he says, don't make anything that is the image of anything in heaven, but the Lord wanted this done to show how important the mercy seat is. Guard yourself that you show mercy. Make sure that you show mercy. Forget about yourself, your comfort, and all these things. God will make you comfortable if you observe, if you become like a covering angel to cover the things that God wants you to cover down here on earth. Because the word angel means messenger. And the Lord in us, the angel of the Lord, or the Lord that is in us, can cover all these things. If you'll let your flesh be mortified, if you'll let him mortify your flesh, and just don't be yourself. Let God be himself in you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
1 cherub on the...
Because you are, you know, we are nothing, but the Lord is everything. Amen?
Amen.
We can't do anything without him. So let him do his work in you and through you. All right, then what?
1 cherub on the end on this side, and another cherub on the other end on that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubim on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, even to the mercy seatward were the faces of the cherubim.
These are symbolically the covering angels that the Lord appoints for each real Christian, because the covering angels see the Spirit of the Lord in you. They know, they're familiar with the Lord, and they know Him in you. And the people in the world, many of them have heard the gospel, but they've never seen it in action. And that's why the Lord has called you and I, to let the people of the world see the gospel, the mercy of God that passes knowledge, be in action. Amen?
Amen.
That's a sobering, but it's a joyful thing once you catch that and let the Lord do that. Because there's no other reason that you're saved. You're not saved to act like the world or to be like the world. That doesn't do the Lord. That doesn't represent God at all. You have to be one of His peculiar people, someone that the world looks at and say, what is this? It's the bread of life is what it is in you. Amen? Okay, go ahead.
And He made the table of acacia wood. 2 cubits was the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And He overlaid it with pure gold, and made thereunto a crown of gold round about. Translation, verse 1 through 11. Building the ark. Next, Bezalel made the ark out of acacia wood. It was 3 3/4 feet long, 2 1/4 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet high.
Now, you know, if you have the love of the Lord in you, there won't be any fear of man or beast in you, because you know that the Lord's in you, and you know that the Lord's guardian angels are around you, and you know that you're in the palm of the Lord's hand. When you see people too afraid to go down to the boulevard and witness there, and I've told the people in Los Angeles to stay on Hollywood Boulevard and in the Hollywood area, and don't be so quick about just distributing literature any longer. And I told them that about a month or so ago. And yet I find out that they're still not doing that. There must be some, I just pray that this disobedience of them will cease now, because they're not winning souls. You have to witness and testify to people and let people see Christ in you. And if you're too afraid to go to the boulevard, that just simply means that you're one of the fearful and unbelieving people. And if you're not obeying the rules of those that have the rule over you, you're definitely not of the Lord. Now, those people, you people in Los Angeles, in Los Angeles, we have a church there, and we used to win from up to 100 or more souls a day. Now, you have enough of the word of the Lord in you to win souls. Now, get down to the boulevard and round about Hollywood, and don't be so concerned about putting out millions of tracts there, but let's win the soul. Talk to them and listen to them, and you make them listen to you. This is where the revival started, was right there on Hollywood Boulevard. And the Lord has told me that you people are not there. And if you're not going to be there, then you're going to cause me to have to come out into Los Angeles to make sure that you do go there. All right, then what?
It was overlaid with pure gold inside and out, and it had a molding of gold all the way around. 4 gold rings were fastened to its 4 feet, 2 rinds at each side. Then He made poles from acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He put the poles into the rings at the sides of the ark to carry it. Then, from pure gold, He made the ark's cover, the place of atonement. It was 3 3/4 feet long, and 2 1/4 feet wide. He made 2 figures of cherubim out of hammered gold, and placed them at the 2 ends of the atonement cover. They were made so they were actually a part of the atonement cover. It was all one piece. The cherubim faced each other as they looked down on the atonement cover, and their wings were stretched out above the atonement cover to protect it.
Atonement is the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus, and or at least these burnt sacrifices, which were symbolic of that, and symbolic of ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves. And we're not sacrificing ourselves if we're not showing the love of God that passes knowledge. We're just not a sacrifice. We're too much of ourselves, too much of the world. And so in order to be a Christian, we have to show the love of God that passes knowledge. And because that means the place of atonement is the place of mercy. Because when you got when you get your sins forgiven, the blood that atones for our sins, the sacrifice that was our atonement, which was Christ, showed mercy, and that's what it means, is the mercy seat, the place of atonement. Okay? Then what?
Building the table. Then he made a table out of acacia wood, 3 feet long, 1 1/2 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet high. It was overlaid with pure gold, with a gold molding all around the edge. King James Version, verse 12. Also he made thereunto a border of an handbreadth round about, and made a crown of gold for the border thereof round about. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings upon the 4 corners that were in the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border were the rings, the places for the staves to bear the table. And he made the staves of acacia wood, and overlaid them with gold to bear the table. And he made the vessels which were upon the table, his dishes and his spoons, and his bowls and his covers, to cover withal of pure gold.
You know, this table is symbolic of that the Lord, as you read Psalm 23, where the Lord says that he spreads a table before us in the sight of our enemies. Amen?
Amen?
And this is the whole Word of God. It tells us how to get into trouble and out of trouble. We don't want to get into trouble, and that's all these examples here shows us how we could get into trouble, but the Lord wants us to use that as an example, is to not get into trouble. So this whole table of the food, the bread of life, is laid before us, and this is symbolic of it. And it tells us how to stay out of trouble with the Lord and to stay in His blessings. And that's by having the love of God, the love of Christ that passes knowledge in us. All right? And go ahead.
And he made the candlestick of pure gold.
Yeah, we are the light of Christ, is the light of the world, and he says we are too. Amen?
Amen.
If we let him represent himself in us, we are carriers of God's mercy, of his light into the world. And if we're like the rest of the world, what are we showing the world but the world? And there's too many people like that already. Amen?
Amen.
Too many disobedient people in the world already. We don't need any more disobedient people. The Lord needs people that are obedient to him. Amen?
Amen.
That let just surrender themselves to him so he can work in and out of us. In and like gold inside and outside of us. All right? Forget about you. Who are you anyway? A speck of dust? We're nothing unless the Spirit of the Lord is working in us. Amen?
Yeah.
You little speck of dust, nothing. And, you know, me, little speck of dust. When the Lord showed me the kingdom of heaven, and when he was showing me how powerful and tremendously beautiful it is in heaven and how hell is, I told him, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I don't care if I'm blind, naked and little, if you'll just let me be a little dust, piece of fleck of dust somewhere in heaven. I don't care if I'm great in heaven, right? Just let me in. because the feeling that I received when he poured out his spirit on me was so, and I had my eyes closed shut, it just felt like, I just wish I could feel this way the rest of my life and for eternity. So I just said, let me in to eternity so I can have this feeling. I don't care if I can see. I don't care if I am a speck of dust or blind, naked, and tiny. I just want in. Forget about being, you know, some another anybody. I could have cared less. I just want into heaven. And if the righteous scarcely make it in there, just let me go in on the toenail of somebody else. I just got to get there, Lord. I just want this feeling forever. I don't want to be tortured forever. Let me in. Save my soul. And I was crying out to him. And I saw the stars break, and there was that it was. There it was. I felt this a gusher of spirit just pouring through me. And it felt like a huge boulder that was strapped onto my back. It was just loosed, and the tears filled my eyes. It was tears of joy. And I couldn't stop them. I thought I was bleeding to death through my eyes. And I saw the stars break, and I saw the cross. As it broke, it left the cross. And I could hear angels singing. And that music, beautiful, gorgeous, peaceful, heavenly music, heavenly. Too hard to describe. And I knew I was saved. And he's given me a chance, and I don't want to blow it. And I'm not going to let anybody cause me to blow it. I'm going to heaven. Even if I get there by the skin of my teeth, it's just like a speck of dust. I want heaven, and I want nothing else. All right, then what?
Of beaten work made he the candlestick, his shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers were of the same. And six branches going out of the sides thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof.
Okay, now this is, that's six candles, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's called the menorah. The Jews call that the menorah. And one of the sixes of the Antichrist is that six is he wants to look like he's the light of the world. He's going to come as a man of God, a false man of God, a false light of the world. Amen. A false menorah, a false candlestick. That's 666. Amen. All right, then what? The Lord just gave that to me. But Jesus is the true light of the world. This is symbolic of the Lord and us with the Lord in us. Amen?
Amen.
But there is no light in the Antichrist, the lawless one, the man of sin, the man of perdition, the son of perdition. There's no light in Antichrist at all. And we all know who Antichrist, what the body, the Antichrist is a body of people that are against Christ and Christians, anti-God. Then what?
Three bowls made after the fashion of almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower, and three bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick.
Right, those branches are like symbolic of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And the flowers is like the us. The Lord is the branch, and we are branches off the branch. He's the vine, and we're the branches off of that. And the flowers. Amen?
Amen.
It's like life, symbolic of life that comes from the Lord. Amen? Then what?
And in the candlestick were four bowls, made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Translation, verse 12 through 21. A rim about 3 inches wide was attached along the edges of the table, and a gold molding ran around the rim. Then he cast 4 rings of gold and attached them to the 4 table legs next to the rim. These were made to hold the carrying poles in place. He made the carrying poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. Next, using pure gold, he made plates, dishes, bowls, and pitchers to be placed on the table. These utensils were to be used in pouring out drink offerings. Building the lampstand. Then he made the lampstand, again using pure hammered gold. Its base, either stem, lamp cups, blossoms, and buds were all of 1 piece. The lampstand had 6 branches, 3 going out from each side of the center stem. Each of the 6 branches held a cup shaped like an almond blossom, complete with buds and petals.
Right, so this cup, as the Bible says, that he causes our cup to run over. Amen?
Amen.
That's the abundance of the Lord. The cup. Or the bowl. He fills it to where it's overrunning. Amen?
Amen.
And it buds like the rod of the almond rod of Aaron. Then what else? And bears fruit. Because we have an abundance of the word of the Lord to tell us what to do. Amen?
Amen.
So it's easy then to show the love of Christ that passes knowledge, because we have, our cup runs over, and it has to run over into the world. Amen? So that we can bring forth flowers, fruit. Amen? Because the the flowers turns into fruit, and then it grows. It becomes mature for the harvest. Amen?
Amen.
It's God's farm again. Amen?
Amen.
God's got a farm, and we're part of it. We're farm workers. Amen?
Amen.
And we're also the produce from the farm. Okay? Then what?
The center stem of the lampstand was also decorated with 4 almond blossoms.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
1 blossom was set beneath each pair of branches, for they extended from the center stem.
It's symbolic of the rod of Aaron, the proof that we're of the Lord. That was a proof that Aaron was the high priest, amen?
Amen.
And so we're priests, amen?
Amen.
So this is almonds. We have to show that we're priests and kings. The only way we can do that is the love that in us that passes knowledge. Because the world doesn't have that knowledge, so we have to show it to them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version.
And love is the keeping of God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. So that's, we have to be merciful. Because whatsoever we sow, God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, if we show no mercy, we're not going to reap any mercy at the judgment bar. We don't like that. Just surrender, all right? Surrender. Don't act like that's a big deal. Just have the Spirit of the Lord in you and let Him work. Die, in other words, okay? Be mortified. What fools these mortals be. Amen?
Amen.
Die out. Let the Spirit of God mortify you to show His love to you and through you. Let Him do it. He wants to. And then what?
Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was 1 beaten work of pure gold. And he made his 7 lamps and his snuffers and his snuff dishes of pure gold.
Okay, the 7 lamps are symbolic of the 7 spirits of the Lord that have to be in every light of the world, every lampstand. The Lord is the lampstand, and if He's in us, then we're lampstands. He told us, I am the light of the world, and He told us in another place, ye are the lights of the world. Amen?
Amen.
You are lampstands. And that you're supposed to do it openly, on the symbolically on a hill. In other words, so everyone can just show the love of God that passes understanding. That's the heel. Amen?
Amen.
In case you didn't know it. All right, then what?
Of a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of acacia wood. The length of it was a cubit, and the breadth of it a cubit. It was four square, and two cubits was the height of it.
It was four square, just like the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
Four square. It's around 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. And that isn't the full kingdom of heaven. That's just the New Jerusalem. We have Jerusalem in this world, but there's a lot of other parts of the world too. Amen?
Amen.
We have the Old Jerusalem. You go to Israel, and that's the Old Jerusalem. And then much larger is all the Jerusalem that is the modern-day Jerusalem. That isn't the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, but there's a lot more of the universe than just the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, that is just symbolic of the bride of Christ, the church of God, the tabernacle wherein the Lord lives, and we're living in him as the tabernacle. Amen?
Amen.
So these are all symbolic and literal too. Then what else?
And he made the incense altar of acacia wood. The length of it was a cubit, and the breadth of it a cubit. It was four square, and two cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same.
Now this incense is symbolic of our prayers. They go before the Lord. And if the love of God, or the love of Christ that passes knowledge, is not in you, the Lord is, he's not going to hear your prayers. That's all there is to it, because that's the sign of Christianity. If you love one another, then people know you're Christians. The Lord plainly states that in one of the epistles of John. Amen?
Amen.
And then how does the love of God dwell in you that passes knowledge if you hate your brother? And if you hate your brother, you're still walking in darkness. So you're still unsaved if you're not going to show the love of God that passes understanding. Now, there was a unknown to me, there was a lesbian that moved into the church, and we just don't allow them in here. And but she was pretending that she was a Christian, and all the signs of being a lesbian were in her, to some certain people at the church, but they had no love that passes knowledge. Otherwise, they would have reported her, and I would have put her out. But she wound up associating herself with one of the people that had been here for years. And in a moment of weakness, they kissed. And this one woman was married to Tommy Scarcello. And so Tommy was repulsed, and everyone in the church was repulsed too. And if I would have kept her, they would have thought, well, Tony condones lesbianism. So I put her on a plane to Hawaii, back to where she's from. And the woman, I put her out, of course, immediately, and she stated to the people in the church, I don't care if I've been put out. I've accomplished what I came here for. I've destroyed a soul. And so, you people that don't report things, or they say, we know that we're not supposed to be walking around with bathing suits in front of brothers, and brothers walking around with their shirts off and in bathing suits around sisters. We have a strong separation in the church like that. And no one reports them. There isn't the love of God. And you're still walking in darkness, because what you do is you're tempting one another. And it's like you're allowing the devil to use you to tempt people's souls, to throw them. And then you'll say, don't tell Tony. And so this is a very strict rule here at this church. No showing of skin. Now, we have a swimming pool here, and the sisters go out by themselves. There are no brothers around whatsoever. No one could possibly see them that are brothers. And the brothers go out there, and they swim, and the girls are not there, the sisters, the women, no one's there. Except maybe the mothers of the boys that are out there swimming. That's it. And that's the way it is everywhere. And if I find out that the people, you're not reporting these things, I know that there's no love of the Lord that passes knowledge in you. And you've been warned before. And this is one thing that the Lord doesn't have patience with, because there's been fornication and lesbianism that's in every church. And it's been in this church too, until the Lord told me to separate everything like this and get it out of here. And so this is a warning. And in love, I'm just warning everybody, you have to straighten up and don't let me see that anymore. All right? And this is the way, if you're a pastor listening to this tape, this is the way you must run your church. There's been people in our church that wanted to throw, there's a couple of Mexican brothers, or people that, whether they're brothers, it doesn't seem as though they are. And their wives, it doesn't seem like they are, because, or people that have stolen or say, we're going to do this, but don't tell Tony. Anyone that's like that, you know, is of the devil. They're not of the Lord at all. Because a shepherd wants to know everything that's going on in the church with the little lambs and the sheep. Otherwise, I mean, we're just going to have a very worldly... it won't be a church. It'll just be a worldly association where people just do their own thing. And everyone that comes to the church will see it and fall away. Because a lot of people that read my literature... love the straightness and the strictness of it. And they want to come to a place that is like that, where the love of God is that passes knowledge is seen in everyone that's in here. And that people are deeply concerned about their own spirit enough to let the Lord work in them to bring these young Christians to adulthood, spiritual adulthood, to maturity. And if that is not in you, then you're, as John said, the love of the Father is not in you, you're still in darkness, you're walking in darkness. And that's what it is, you're still lost. And this has to stop, because rarely do, there have been many people that have come into the church full of zeal and they leave. And they reported you and it didn't even quicken in you. And if the same reports keep coming in on the same people, you'll have to go, because I don't want a lot of demons or dead people or people that hate human souls in this church. I'd rather have just a few souls that are quality people, that to have the love of Christ that passes knowledge in them, and to get rid of all these cancer, leprous people that are causing people to fall. And they speak the words, they get in the pulpit, and they start talking how wonderful and all the, you know, the things that that they've been through and all that. And then they leave the pulpit area, and they're like devils. This would be a den of hypocrites. And it can't be. So, in love, I'm telling you to get in the Spirit. Watch your step. Let the love of God that passes knowledge reign in you, or you're none of His. Okay, let's keep going.
Verse 26. And he overlaid it with pure gold, both the top of it and the sides thereof round about. And the horns of it also he made unto it a crown of gold round about. And he made two rings of gold for it under the crown thereof, by the two corners of it, upon the two sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. And he made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices, according to the work of the apothecary.
Right, this is all symbolic of the prayers of a righteous person avail much, because the Lord knows if a hypocrite is praying to him, or a person filled with hatred and no love of God in them. But this is symbolic of a true Christian's prayers that are a sweet savor unto the Lord. The fervent prayers of a righteous person, a righteous man, availeth much. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to crucify, put the cross to your lips, to your brain, put on the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ is not the mind of the people of the world. The mind of the Lord is quite way different, the exact opposite of the world. It's filled full of love for human souls, and it's filled with mercy and understanding, and will it not at all put up with sin, or will not excuse the guilty. And the greatest sinners in the world are those that are pretending to be Christians and are inside a church, a true or a gathering of Christians, and there to accomplish the things that their master Satan wants them to accomplish within the gathering place of the church of God, which are the people of the Lord. And the new ones, the newly saved ones, that want to grow in Christ, that want to also learn not only just what to say, but how to let God reign in their hearts with his love, mercy, kindness. Okay, and then that was the, now we go into the translation.
Translation, verse 22 through 29. Decorations and branches were all one piece with the stem. They were hammered from pure gold. He also made the seven lamps, and the lamp snuffers, and the trays, all of pure gold. The entire lampstand, along with its accessories, was made from 75 pounds of pure gold. Building the incense altar. The incense altar was made of acacia wood. It is 18 inches square and 3 feet high, with its corner horns made from the same piece of wood as the altar itself. He overlaid the top, sides, and horns of the altar with pure gold and ran a gold molding around the edge. 2 gold rings were placed on opposite sides beneath the molding to hold the carrying poles.
Right, if you love the Lord, then don't snuff out what he wants to do. Because if you're not doing what he says, you're snuffing out his ability to show his love, his mercy, his wisdom, knowledge, understanding, his zeal to this world. And you're really a very corrupt vessel. So there's more to being a Christian than just no reading and praying. That's learning what you're supposed to do, but you're supposed to let the Lord live and work in you, okay? Anybody could read and pray, but again, the Lord will not honor the prayers of corrupt people that want to continue being corrupt. People that are in darkness, that are reading the Word every day and never let the Lord mortify them and never let the Lord live and work in them. They just snuff him out and invite Satan and 7 other demons in them. Now stop. Any of you people that are, or anybody that's hearing this tape, and we send these tapes all over the world, stop doing that. Let the Lord... Don't let the Lord be snuffed in you. Let him live and work in and through you. That's the gospel. And what?
The carrying poles were made of acacia wood and were overlaid with gold. Then he made the sacred oil for anointing the priests.
That's the gospel. That's Christianity. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Then he made the sacred oil for anointing the priests and the fragrant incense, using the techniques of the most skilled incense maker.
Okay, that was the last verse in Exodus chapter 37, and now we go into some commentary here.
37 verses 1 through 9.
Is it? Okay.
A lot of times, especially when you're doing something for the Lord, it is difficult for some people to be able to handle or cope with it, even for people with a tremendous amount of talent.
Right, they can't handle keeping themselves without being puffed up. They do something for the Lord and they think that that's going to be eternally sufficient for them. We have to let the Lord work on us every day, amen?
Amen.
Can't do just one deed or 10 deeds or 100 deeds or 1,000 deeds and expect that you've fulfilled, that you've become a burnt offering before the Lord, sold out to Him completely. You have to let Him continue on in you and through you to the end. All right? It's a cross-carrying situation every day. Amen?
Amen.
A self-denial daily. Okay, then what?
One of the reasons is some of them are afraid to fail.
Right. A lot of people, God tells them to do something, and God doesn't tell you to do anything unless He gives you the skill to do it. Amen?
Amen.
He told me to open the school. I was afraid I was going to fail. I went to Sam Sexton, the attorney, and I says, well, you got to give us the papers to open the school. The Lord never told me to go to the government, the satanic government, and get permission to open the school for Him. He says, open the school. Amen?
Amen.
So I waited and waited, and the papers didn't come in, and find out the Sam Sexton just never even filed for it. Then finally the Lord shouted at me, open the school. I opened it immediately, okay? I've never had papers to this day. And those of you that have Christian works, I never thought that I was capable of opening a school or being a principal, but then I got busy picking out the curriculum and investigating different companies that sell curriculum for schools and how to run a school. And all the other different things that go along with schools, because I was the class clown in school. Who would ever think that I'd be the principal of a school, or for that matter, the president of the American Association of Non-Denominational Christian Schools? And I actually now have, through the power of God, through the commandment of the Lord, the right to certify teachers. And when I was in prison for the gospel, preaching the gospel and doing the things that the Lord told me to do, they told me, do I have my GED? And I told the woman, my dear, I am an educator. I have schools all over the place out in the world. She says, oh, I'm sorry. I am the educator. Far superior to GEDs. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
But this craftsman, Bezalel, did not allow the things that were expected of him by others, especially God, to hinder his work. Because God had filled him with His Holy Spirit and given him unusual skills, he willingly used his gifts to glorify God.
See, I know enough when the Lord told me to open a school. Finally, it dawned on me, He doesn't tell you to do anything that you can't do. So if He tells you to do something, don't sit there and think about it. I found out through experience, just do it, because He gave me the knowledge to do it. Amen?
Amen.
But I don't like the teaching of the metric system, because the European way of doing things is inferior. Otherwise, the pilgrims wouldn't have fled Europe. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, they would be the ones that were known for putting out the gospel instead of Catholicism. Europe is filled with Catholicism. So what the government is doing to the one world government today is doing is forcing the metric system. I know what a mile is, and I know what a yard is, and I know what inches are. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to know about centimeters and all this other garbage, all right? I'm an American, and I want to, and I'm a Christian. I know what I learned when I was young, and it was more right than what they're teaching today. Amen?
Amen?
And you may think that you're highly intelligent because you know what centimeters are and the metric system and all these different things, but if I were you, I'd stay American. Amen?
Amen.
Meters and all these sort of, I know what miles are. I don't want to know how many meters it is from here to Nashville, Tennessee, or New York, or Los Angeles, or wherever. I just want to know how many miles it is, because it's too late in the date. I'm almost 70 years old now, and I don't want to learn some new thing. And I don't want the young people in the world to think they're smarter than me just because they're learning some new, something that isn't new. It's old, it's been around for years, and it's contrary to the American way. Okay, so if you're going to be patriotic, throw the metric system out and just learn what yards, inches, miles, quarts, pounds, ounces, and things like that are, all right? Because you're not smart learning that at all. Learn the American way. This is being forced. Everything that is Vaticanite, that is satanic, is being forced down people's throats today, and I'm not buying it. All right, then what else?
Because God had filled him with his Holy Spirit and given him unusual skills, he willingly used his gifts to glorify God, not only in building the tabernacle, but also in teaching others. Bezalel's life is a very good example for all the people to live by today.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. If the Lord tells you to do something and he gives you the Spirit to do it, you may doubt your ability to be able to do it. But if God, you know God's telling you to do something, just do it. You'll be able to. Amen?
Amen.
If the Lord told me to go out and play football at 70 years old, I'd do it. Okay? Because he told me to lift weights, and I lifted 1,250 pounds with my legs. I mean, so I know I can do it. And I'm deadlifting 500, and I haven't worked out for quite a long time, so I know I'm strong. If the Lord tells me to do it, I know I'm strong. Nobody can tell me any different than that. And I know whatever he tells me to do, I'm capable to do it. He says, open up churches. He said, to move your church in different places, because they, before the government went over and slaughtered the people at Waco, at that Seventh-day Adventist church, it's an offshoot of Seventh-day Adventist, the Lord says they're going to try to kill all of you at once. So separate yourself. Get off the ridge, because if you're not there, they're not going to kill the people. And open up churches here and there, in Chicago, here and there, so that they can't kill you all at once. Because they wanted to do me instead of Koresh, David Koresh. And even when I was in jail for another false charge in a case that I won, where they said I wanted to do bad things to a judge, which I never would have done, and I never did. I wasn't planning anything like that. The different officers in the jail said, you're Waco too. And I says, you don't know how much truth you're saying. They wanted me to be Waco 1. God told me about that. Well, Lord, how am I going to open up different churches and do all that? Just do what I say. Amen?
Amen.
And we're still alive. Amen?
Amen.
They came up and raided the ridge, but they didn't find me there. And they found out later that we have churches all over the place. And now we've got them all over the world. So the Lord says, those that are led by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Are not condemned. If you are not talking to the Lord, you could go out into the world today. Those people that were at 9/11, if they would have talked to the Lord and said, Lord, what are we supposed to do today? Should we go to work? And the Lord would say, no. Amen? But they didn't talk to the Lord. And they went to work, and they were killed. That's the difference between being self-willed and doing what the, being concerned about what the Lord has. He's smarter than you. He knows what you should, where you should go and what you should do during the day. Amen? Amen. Every day. And so it's not smart to not pray, because these people zigged when they should have zagged. Amen? Amen. And that happens to many people every day. Thousands of people. Should we get out of town, or should we stay in town, Lord? Should we go out of town? I asked the Lord, should I be in this town, Lord? Should I get out of town? Should I go someplace else? Do you want me to go to Montana? Israel? New York? Where? Where do you want me to go? You don't want me to stay here? Yes, I do. I'm here. Amen? Confidently here. All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 37 of Exodus, and Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 38 of Exodus this evening. Until then, you know, think about these things. Let Christ live and work in you. God bless you, and praise the Lord.